Turn this thing around. No, that ain't the way. We all know where this is bound. So turn this thing around. Jump on a runaway train. Down that line lies misery, unhappiness and pain. So turn this thing around. No, that ain't the way. We all know where this is bound. So turn this thing around. Your heart has always been. Don't let our love slip away and vanish with the wind. Ooh, turn this thing around. No, that ain't the way. We all know where this is bound. So turn this thing around.
Seth Walker from his new CD, Gotta Get Back. 7 years ago, an obscure Austin singer-songwriter released an album called Leap of Faith. That album leapt into Katie and Kay's airwaves, with DJs falling all over themselves playing a great CD. With a beguiling blend of gospel and blues, Seth Walker has honed his art and craft over several releases, and now he has a new album, Gotta Get Back, released last fall, and he's touring now behind that, a tour which reaches Steve's Guitars tomorrow night. I had a chance to speak with Seth last Tuesday.
I know, 7 years since I've spoken to you, Seth Walker, and a lot has gone on, hasn't it?
I tell you what, it's just rolling by, ain't it?
I can't believe it. I just can't believe it. You know, I used to think that time moving fast was an old folks disease, but it's not, is it?
Tell you what, man. It's an epidemic. It's just rolling by.
It really is. I have a 23-year-old son, and I asked him the same thing the other day, and he said, no, I'm feeling it too. So I don't know. How does a sensitive...
It's a state of mind. All it is, right?
It is.
Relative.
Yeah.
Relative.
Let's pat ourselves on the back and say, yeah, we survived another day.
We're here.
Here we are. What are we going to do about it?
We are here. We're just going to play some music.
That sounds good. I guess that's that's a great cure for a lot of things, isn't it?
Yeah. It's gotten me through.
Well,
sure.
You know, it's funny that you... that the conversation turned to that already. So here we go. In your liner notes to your new CD, which I want to talk more about here, but you say music was some kind of portal into a world that I wanted to be a part of, an instinctual, almost tribal way. The music was life, the laughter, the struggle, the hurt feelings, the mend, the love, the muse, the way.
Yeah. It was all that for me. It's kind of, it's turned into this kind of all encompassing kind of life and lifestyle for me. It's therapy. It is seriously therapeutic.
It is, and you know what? It is for the audience too. But you already knew that.
Well, one can hope. One can hope.
Indeed. So let's talk about this new CD. It's called Gotta Get Back, and I confess that I was on vacation when it came in, so I missed it the first time around. So I haven't given it a good listen until now, and it strikes me as an entirely confident album. I mean, you have found your sound, and you know it. You're not looking for it. You already have it. You possess it completely. I think it's a very assured album.
Wow, thank you so much, Luke. Thank you. It was it's my ninth effort, and you know, hopefully with each album, you know, you're trying to get more and more to that place. And it's you know, recording is not something that I do near as much as playing live. You know, I mean, on stage is where I'm most comfortable, and in the studio, you really got to find it's a whole other world, and to try to emote with the red light on, with no audience, it's a wholly different thing. And so, with each album, I felt like I, you know, getting a little more confident in there, a little bit more comfortable, where I can really, you know, try to tap into that pure place.
I wonder if some of that assuredness comes too from your move to New Orleans. There's a very easygoing swagger about the music and the lyrics, and it's not overbearing at all, but it's there, and it's like I said earlier, confidence. Do you think, what has New Orleans done for you in your own mind?
When I moved to Nashville, I was in Austin for a long time, about 15 years. And that's really where I kind of, you know, got the whole thing going, learned how to actually, you know, sing and write and perform. And when I went to Nashville, met some amazing people and writers and everything. But there was something still pulling me, and I've always love this music out here, and just this way. I mean, it's just perfectly crooked or something, you know, like, and you know, and it when I got here, it's almost like I kind of unlearned some things in a good way, if you will, you know, like, you know, you put the gristle back on it a little bit.
Oh, I see.
Rhythm and just the spirit of the place is so creative. Like when you know living here, when you talk to someone and you hear the cadence of the way they talk, it's like they're playing the piano when they talk to you. So there's this underlying rhythm, and I think that has definitely crept into the new album, Luke. And I don't know, man. I'm just in a good place down here, and I definitely think the vibe of New Orleans has been a good thing for me.
Well, this album, Gotta Get Back, refers to the fact of going back to your family for your musical inspiration. Maybe you could tell our listeners a little bit of the process on how this album unfolded and what it meant for you to bring your family into that.
Oh man, it was very special. This is like I said before, it's our ninth record, and I don't know why we hadn't thought of this before, but my father is a cellist and string arranger. And he's a great violinist as well. I mean, he's a lifer, man. He's a nut. And my mom, she's a violinist. So my mom and dad taught me to play cello when I was about 4 years old is when I got my first cello. And they taught the Suzuki method, which I know if you're familiar, but it's like an ear training method. But they taught me from the get-go, and as long with my sister. And I don't know which tune it was. I think it was a tune called Sound of Your Voice that's on the album that I sent my pop just a little work tape of it. And he just sent me this email back, and he's like, hey, man, I've got an idea for a string arrangement with this. And that just kind of sent us off to the races. We ended up doing three tracks together on the album, and it really did get me back to a place, you know, of why I started playing music in the first place. You know what I mean?
Huh?
Because you can lose sight of it sometimes if you do something long enough. You can kind of, you know, lose that, or it just gets cluttered. And so he helped me. He helped remind me about that. And this was the first time. My folks have been split up for 20 years, and this is the first time we've played music as a family since then, man.
Oh, wow.
So it was.
Wow.
Yeah, hair standing.
Exactly. Goosebump time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the last track, Blow Wind Blow, is just us. Just around, just in a studio, man, with like two mics.
Huh.
Just playing music.
And that's a beautiful song too. It's a fitting it's a fitting end to the album. Yeah.
Thank you, man.
Well, how did that family feeling manifest in the actual writing of the songs? Did you write the songs with him, or did you already have the song written and your father arranged it? How did you co-write these songs? How did that work?
No, I had the songs written. I mean, there is a lot of a collaborative. I wrote with Oliver Wood from the Wood Brothers on one, wrote with Jesse Alexander, Gary Nicholson, and a few others. But no, my father just, after I had them written, I just sent him, he just arranged music to them.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I think another key part of this album's success is the producer, John O. Ricks. Talk about what he brought to the project.
Oh, my gosh. Man, that dude, he is, the first time I've ever worked with him as a producer, he played on Sky Still Blue, which is the record that my previous one that Oliver Wood produced. But he really challenged and pushed me to try to get in some places that I have never had before. Musically and sonically too. He was really deliberate, and he, you know, producing is a funny thing. It's like, you know, I don't have much experience doing it. I mean, I've done a few records, but it's kind of like, you know, you don't want to produce with an iron fist, because you don't want to suffocate things in there. So you have to let music kind of unfold. It's got to be relaxed so you can get a good vibe, right? But you also have to have a clear picture and idea of where this project is headed. And he has a really great knack for that, just as a human being, not to mention his amazing musical skills. It's kind of like, you know, like holding a bird or something. You don't want it to go away. You don't want it to fly away, but you don't want to choke it either. You know what I mean?
Does that mutual discovery of how things are unfolding, does that happen step by step, or is it sort of, does it come from the beginning when you sit down and talk, that initial talk that you had with him about the project? How did that unfold?
Let's see. Well, he was actually on tour with me playing drums, where we were riding down the road on our a million miles to go, we started kind of exploring this possibility, and we started to just kind of sketch out what it might look like, what it, you know. And then, you know, like anything, you know, things kind of, you know, evolve naturally in the process. For instance, you know, who, what musicians we might get on this track, or how to record this one, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know if I've gotten away from your question, but our friendship and all in all, just like our, we have a similar way of hearing music, and that's hard to find.
Huh.
You know,
huh, that sounds like,
you know, it's like a relationship, man. It is a relationship.
An important one as far as the making of a record.
Yeah, it is, man.
Yeah.
You got to find a way to work together. And it was always easy. It was never a chore. Now he played piano, organ, Wurlitzer, drums, background vocals, and percussion on that record.
Oh, was that all?
Yeah, that's all. He has no skills.
Wow, how about that? Yeah.
Yeah. Dead weight.
Well, I was aware of his versatility in the Wood Brothers, of course, but, you know, yeah. to hear all that outside of the Wood Brothers context kind of puts it shines a different light on it.
Yeah. He is. Serious musician. I mean, piano was his first instrument. So he was really instrumental in the arranging too. He's a special guy.
Well, here at KD&K, we've been living with Gotta Get Back for 4 months, and I suppose you've been living with it for a lot longer than that, but how does it feel after this period of time? Does it feel like a definitive statement of you and your sound and kind of where you're headed musically?
Yeah, it does. I'm so proud of what we did with it. I mean, it's still fresh to me. It's still a baby. When we're coming your way, we're heading out on a 3-week tour all through the West Coast. I love playing all these songs. I play just about every one on the set. And I think it's, I think going forward into the next record, I'm already writing some new stuff now, and I think Gotta Get Back has kind of helped me see the possibilities of where we can go with it. And John O. Ricks and I already started talking about doing another one at some point. So,
ooh, that's a good plan. I noticed you said.
Yeah, I think it's a good plan.
I noticed you said we. So you are playing in Carbondale with a band. You're not playing solo.
Yeah, I've got a whole quartet, man. I've got Miles Weeks on upright bass from Baton Rouge. He plays on Gotta Get Back on half the record. Stefano Intellisano on keys and accordion. He's from Pavia, Italy, one of my oldest, dearest friends and collaborator. And Derek Phillips is playing drums, who's on the last three of my records.
Wow.
So I'll have a quartet. We're going to be tied up on that stage. We're going to make it work.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Does
playing with a band, do you take a different approach to a show if you know you're playing solo as opposed to a band? How does that work?
Yeah, it's a different trip somewhat. When I'm solo, I tend to... I take it different places. I can, with them, I'm solo, I can kind of start and stop and push and pull and kind of bend it that way. But when I'm with the band, you know, it's four of us kind of working together, and it's really fun to kind of bounce off each other. because it's pretty elastic. You know, it's we all have kind of a jazz sensibility, which I really enjoy. And each night is you know, we're trying to find a new way to do things every night, and I really do enjoy that. So there's pluses to both.
So you're giving yourselves a lot of room to improvise.
Yeah, you got to.
Huh? Why is that?
I mean, it's not Miles Davis Bitches Brew or anything, but
right.
It's but there's definitely room to wiggle.
Well, speaking of gigs, I saw that you recently played Havana. You have to tell me about that experience.
Yeah, I did. I went to Havana with Ruthie Foster, who is a. Do you know? Are you hip to her music?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, she. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, we went down there. The two of us was kind of like a. Vacation/music trip for our fans. We had about 20 of our fans come down there, and it was a very strange time, Luke, in that Fidel had just passed away about 3 days before we got there.
Ooh.
So there was a 9-day mourning period in Cuba, all of Cuba, and it was a ban on all music.
Oh.
I mean, there was you couldn't even play a damn radio.
Huh.
And so our gigs were canceled up until the last day. The last day the ban was lifted, and we had a huge concert, and it was amazing. I guess it was kind of like the fast and then the feast, but a very historic and memorable time to be in Cuba, that's for sure.
How about that?
Huh. Yeah.
That's really something. And I can just...
Yeah, and those people are so open and kind and they don't have, you know, they're so generous and they have nothing really to give. It really moved me, and I plan to go back very soon.
Nice. To play or just to...
Yeah.
Just to...
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, because a couple of the concerts we couldn't do. So I, you know, I talked to the promoters down there, and they're, yeah, you know, we plan to reboot, do it again.
Wow. Huh.
Yeah.
Huh. Have you? I'll bet you've been on some of those blues cruises or jam cruises.
Yeah, I've been on the Delbert McClinton cruise. He does one every year. I've done that about 7 or 8 years. After Leap of Faith, I started doing those.
Okay.
Yeah, I enjoy those too. Maybe, hard to argue with that.
Maybe some of those cruises will dock in Havana. Wouldn't that be something?
Yeah, actually, they are starting to do
are
that
they?
Now.
Are they really? Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, they are.
Huh. Wow, sign me up.
Yeah.
So I just want to thank you, Seth, for spending a little time with us here at KDNK. I know there are... bunch of DJs and fans at KDNK and listeners that are familiar with your music, and I think the word's just really starting to get out that Seth Walker's in town, so I think you can expect a good packed house over at Steve's Guitars.
I like the sound of that, Luke.
Yeah.
I like the sound of that, and I'm in New Orleans right now where it's about 70 degrees, but I'm guessing I should bring a coat.
Yes, you should. Yeah, maybe some...
is that what's going on up there?
Maybe some galoshes.
Okay, all right.
Do you have any...
Parka in tow. Parka in tow.
Do you have galoshes, Seth Walker?
I don't have any galoshes. I got some boots, so I'll throw them in there.
Yeah, you'll have to buy some, like, wingtip galoshes
okay.
or something.
Well, I look forward to seeing you.
All right. Take her easy, okay?
Okay, Luke. Take care, man.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
That is Seth Walker playing tomorrow night at Steve's Guitars. And that brings to the end another Express Yourself. Thank you for listening. Stay tuned for the news. This is KDNK, Carbondale Community Access Radio, Glenwood Springs, Carbondale, the Roaring Fork Valley, and beyond. Please remember to go out there and express yourself.